Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, and welcome to Selective Hearing, a space for honesty, healing, and transformation. I'm Julie DeMar, author, filmmaker, and host of this podcast. My journey began years ago in the entertainment industry, but I would soon learn that motherhood would become one of the greatest roles that I could ever play, pushing me to heal, grow, and embrace my true purpose. Through storytelling and creative expression, I've always shared my story. Now I want to share my experiences with nothing less than the hope of inspiring you. We've all practiced selective hearing, only listening to what we want to hear. But what if we changed that? What if we leaned in, embraced new perspectives, and truly heard one another? This podcast is about more than just a conversation. It's about breaking barriers, fostering understanding, and stepping into the best versions of ourselves. So take a deep breath, open your heart, and join me. What does selective hearing mean to you? Welcome back, everybody. I am here today with very special guest and host of the New World Normal podcast, Miss Debbie Harrell. Look, I was okay. There is a part of me that just wants to be big bougie and add extra stuff to your name. But today, me and Debbie are going to have a beautiful conversation about challenging those societal norms. So, Debbie, thank you for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
I am too. I can't wait to get into this. You want to know something, everybody? So I've been gone in my solo episode, so I haven't been able to fill the listeners in with what's going on with life. But I am currently pursuing a degree in psychology, and I have been working on a paper about societal norms for about the past 2 weeks, and it is driving me crazy.
I might have to have you on my show next.
Oh, I would love to come on your show and talk about this. I have so much information in my head right now about this that I am extremely excited. This conversation is right on time.
I love it.
So Debbie, I love to give each guest the opportunity to just share your story with them. So the floor is all yours.
Oh, my story. I mean, where do we start? I'll keep it concise. It was a cold winter day. Now, I raised my kids as a single mom. They are now grown. So I'm in my empty nest phase, that midlife phase for women where we wake up one day and we think, what the heck has just happened? What have we been doing? That led me to think that I want to do some different things. Like, I've spent all my time raising my kids, focusing on them, which was great. Best time of my life. But now, what does this next chapter hold for me? That's where I came to my work, was during that phase.
When you're speaking, it made me think about all of the transitions that women go through, that mothers, caregivers, that we all go through in life, that transition from being independent, in a sense, like you don't necessarily have a relationship or you don't necessarily have children. You don't necessarily know who you are. Maybe you're still figuring it out. And then you transition to being a partner or a wife and a mother and all these things, and then how you get lost in the sauce in that. And then, okay, everybody goes about their business. And now here we are. What do I do with this newfound freedom? And I think that's a beautiful place to start. So what was that pivotal moment for you?
It was the year 2020 when we were all experiencing this global phenomena that had never happened before. And I was just fascinated by it. And I was fascinated by the idea of normal, how everyone was freaking out about this new normal and how terrible it was and how it was here to stay. And I kept thinking, well, what about the old normal? It really wasn't that great. Weren't we having significant challenges just a few months ago? Like, and then once you start thinking about exploring the idea of normal, and all the ways it plays out, right? We have the big systemic and societal norms, and we have our personal norms, and we tend to look at normal as something that is better and anything that is not normal as less than. Well, that's kind of problematic too. So it just led to this rabbit hole of like, what is this? And why do we feel the need to hold on to it so tightly, like, and want to be identified with it so closely? Like, we all want to be normal, but we can't all be normal. So what I say is like, or we can, because nothing's normal. Nothing's normal, so everything's normal, if that makes any sense. That's the place I've come to.
It makes a lot of sense. And here, oh my gosh. So I was watching, I'm a late night scroller, everyone. So I was watching reels. Let's not make it deeper than it is. I was watching reels, but I came across this reel where there was a wife and her husband was saying, he was recording her, but he was saying, like, when I go to sleep, everything just shuts down. I go to sleep. And his wife is like, that's not the same for me. And the question that she asked him was like, well, what about the narrator? And she was like, at best, my head at nighttime when you're sleeping is going da 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 bang, And he was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that was happening with you. But he was like, but what if you're actually the normal one and I'm not? And
I would say she is.
I was like, yeah. Because I think that's true for me. Like my head all day long, it's like just it sounds like a slot machine sometimes. But
100%.
I
I
like
actually just sent out an email last night. Well, I sent out a Friday email, and the subject line this week was the voices in my head because they're working overtime these days.
But what if that's actually normal?
And I like to think of normal as more like common. So yes, I feel like it is common for us to have these voices on loops in our head. There are people who actively know how to work with them, and that's part of the work that I try to do for myself and support my clients. And there are other people that seem to be just blessed without them, like that woman's husband. And that's one of those moments that, well, where we see normal and then less than. Well, maybe that not normal is actually better, right? Because probably able to focus a lot better, sleep a lot better.
I thought about that as like, what if we normalize embracing everyone's differences? I think that would be an amazing place to start with all of this.
And that's what, when I first started the podcast, I was thinking I wanted to normalize things. But then I was like, wait a minute. Then that leads to here, this is normal and that's not. Whereas, like, I like how you put it, normalizing accepting everybody's differences and embracing and celebrating, you know?
Very much so. So we covered 2020, but I want to time travel a little bit more here because during
Okay.
our pre-show, you mentioned this time period between 2017 and 2019 where you were kind of stumbling, and then that's when like the brakes hit in 2020, and then there was the revelation. So what was that time frame, if you would like to share, like between 2017 and 2019 for you?
2017 was one of those years where Murphy, you know, the guy that's in charge of everything that can go wrong does go wrong, was running rampant. Like, it was a traumatic year. I can say that. Like, there's no denying it. I lost my mom. I had a significant medical issues myself, so my own brush with my own mortality. Then I was in attendance at the Route 91 Las Vegas shooting. Right? That is a glaring big T Trump traumatic event. And then almost a year to the date of losing my mom, I lost my younger cousin, who was my closest family member at the time. So no denying that year was full of traumatic events. Did I know that at the time? Was I able to identify those as such at the time? Not necessarily, except for maybe the shooting. That was the glaring. And that was actually part of the catalyst, right? Because I was fortunate enough to, shortly after the shooting event, to meet with a PTSD specialist. And he was talking about how I might be feeling and some of the things I might be doing and experiencing. And I was like, yep, check, check, check. All of that is happening. But I've been feeling that way for like 10 years. What's that all about? And that led me to realize that a lot of the things that we experience in life our bodies process as traumatic, even if we are not identifying them as such. So we go through life. I mean, we know more about ACE, adverse childhood experiences. So, we don't have much control over that, if any. So we have those experiences, then we go into adulthood and we have more experiences that we might not be dealing with. So we put those in our backpack and carry on through life. Well, so when I went to the shooting, I already had a backpack pretty full of life experiences that I hadn't really dealt with, because to me, I look at those experiences and that's just life. Like, everybody's going through that. And in fact, I can see other people whose experiences are much more traumatic or maybe dramatic or extreme. So mine didn't seem as important or as necessary for me to work on. So I just, like a good Gen X person, I stuffed those feelings down and experiences and went on about my life until 2017, where I'd say, describe it as like the wheels were coming off the wagon. I was barely functioning. I was starting to have more physical health issues. And it wasn't until late 2019, I was on a walk with a friend of mine, and she looked at me and she's like, "Debbie, I've taken time off work for far less than what you've got going on." And it was like a light bulb moment. Oh, wait a minute. I can stop and take time for myself to take care of myself? What? Come again? I'm a good worker, and I am a good capitalist. I am a producer. Like, I'm not valuable unless I'm working, right? So that first step of giving myself permission, like, okay, maybe take some time off work and focus on yourself. And that was at the end of 2019. And then, of course, 2020 happened, where everybody got to spend more time at home.
I feel like if the floodgates were cracked, starting to have those little mishaps in the foundation when 2020 came, oh, they opened for everybody.
For everybody,
Like,
that's where I had a little bit of a blessing, where I had a kind of a head start. And so I was already a little bit doing the work. And then when everybody in 2020 started freaking out, I was like, oh, wait, it's okay. Like, we're gonna be fine.
And people like me are so grateful for people like you during that time, because I shared with you when the floodgates opened, I was like online trauma dumping, going straight to crazy town and didn't know what that was. But then someone like you came around like, hey, you need a little help, I see. Come here. Woo, woo, woo. Let's work on this. It's all right. Let's get through it, But I had no idea. So I love, love, love how during your pre-show also you were speaking about the concept selective hearing as a concept, and how you can recognize the power of selective hearing, and it's either a challenge or a tool for growth. So I would love to hear you expand on that.
I think it's especially important right now in what we're experiencing. I'm not sure when this episode will air, but right now we're in the beginning of February of 2025, and it's kind of chaotic. And so in that regard, selective hearing can be a tool that we can use to help ourselves get through the day, right? Where are we going to put the blinders on so we can focus? Blinders on our ears, I guess. What, muffles? I guess those would be. So that we can focus on the issues that are most important to us, as opposed to being bombarded by all the information that's being thrown at us right now. We find ourselves in these echo chambers where the people around us are saying the same things we are. We're all in this echo chamber because we agree and think about, and there's a danger in that too, right? So we're selecting, I want to hear this messaging because I agree with it and it makes me feel better. And when I hear contradictory information, even if it might be true, it's uncomfortable. So I'd rather stay here in this echo chamber as opposed to hearing other people's perspectives and learning a little bit more in areas. And that's especially challenging right now because there's so much misinformation being thrown around. So it's hard. I think that's one of the reasons it's co more comfortable in the echo chamber right now, is because I trust this source, I trust this information. I'm not sure out there what is actually true and what is not. So I feel like we are in an exceptionally challenging time when it comes to selective hearing and trying to use it as a tool, right? Because I feel like most things are double-sided, right? You have a good side and a bad side. And it all depends on your intention when you're using them. So, like, if I intentionally tell myself to practice selective hearing, to focus on issues so I can, number one, remain grounded and not lose my mind with everything that's going on, then that's helpful. If I consciously and intentionally stick myself in an echo chamber where I'm not necessarily learning everything I need to know to take effective action in the issues that are happening right now, that could be problematic. Hopefully that made sense.
It did. I was thinking of what me and my friends have dubbed as yes man syndrome when you were talking, is we always talk about, like, I don't, our favorite thing to say to each other is, I don't need a yes man. So if you're my friend, do not yes man me. Don't, if it's something that needs to be challenged, or if there's somewhere where I need to be held accountable, do that. Do not be like, hey, good job, you're so great. Like, no cheerleaders on my team, okay? Let's
Oh my
love each
gosh, I
other.
love that. I love that. We know when we have those friends when they're like, yeah, no, I don't think that. Even if it's as simple as walking out the door in something, you know, like, does this look okay? And everyone's like, yeah, it looks great. If you
Exactly.
look at yourself in pictures later, you're like, oh my God, how come someone let me walk out of the house like
Like, no.
that?
I have my best friend in the whole wide world who gets talked about on this show a lot. She is a guest without even knowing it each week. She is just that. And there's a balance in it too, because there's someone being honest with you and genuinely caring for you, and then there's someone who's just me.
Exactly. That's one thing I've worked on as an adult, because I was like, I'm just being honest. And finally someone's like, you could figure out how to do it a little kinder or with a little more tact. It's like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, most definitely. She's definitely the caring friend where she's like, okay, let's run this back and talk about it, because that's not going to work. And this is why. But I
Yeah.
appreciate it. Even if I hang up on her, and I do, I'll call her back, like, I hung up on you and I'm sorry, but I hung up on you because you were telling me the truth and I just didn't like it right now.
Yeah,
But
it didn't feel so good.
it didn't at all. But I was like, but you're right, and I'm gonna sit in that for a little bit and evaluate some things. And she's like, okay, well, you do that and just know I love you. Next time I see you, I'll give you a hug. Okay, cool.
I love that. I love that the way you articulated that and the way she received it and accepted it. I think we all need to give each other a little bit more time for processing things. Like we can't react or respond immediately to everything, especially when it's something that requires a little reflection and introspection. So I love that. We should
Yes.
normalize that,
Yes,
giving each
yes.
other space for
We
that.
I think me and Debbie need to come up with a list of normal and just put everything on there. And then after that, tell you guys to put some stuff on there and let's just keep
I
going.
have one of the first things I made, because I was also, when I first had this idea, it scared me. Right, because it felt really big, and I decided I was going to do a line of clothing. I called it intentional apparel, soft clothes for hard times. And I made like fun, positive sayings on t-shirts and stuff. But I also made myself this laptop bag that has the New World Normal logo on it. And it says all the things like normalize compassion, normalize a living wage, normalize inclusion, peace. So, yeah, like I did that. Exercise for myself, like what are the things I would want to normalize?
I love that. Okay, listeners, you got some homework. Okay, so it's Monday. So by next Monday, well, throughout the week, put it in the comments. But also, I want you to tap in next Monday and let us know exactly what things have you normalized in your life. And I'll give you a couple to start with. Like, normalize, like we just said, stepping away and taking time to process information. That's a good place to start. I think that is a very healthy place to start.
The power of the pause. It's huge.
Huge. And here's number two, and we're about to get all up into this. Normalize granting yourself permission. So I think that is a good place to work into where we're going next. And this is something that you said during our pre-interviews, and I'm getting ready to quote you. You said many women feel like they aren't permitted to explore who they are and what they want. So I would like you to share, why do you think that, and how can we start shifting that narrative?
I feel like you'll notice even when I introduced myself at the beginning of the show, because I wasn't prepared. I was like, what am I going to say? We tend to identify ourselves in relation to other people our roles related to other people, whether it's a mom or our career or what we happen to be doing at that space and time. And that's definitely normal for us to identify ourselves that way. But it doesn't leave any space for me to really know who I am at my core. And when women are encouraged, I feel like they're conditioned, encouraged, and celebrated when they put everybody's needs before their own, then that's less likely that they're actually going to think about, like, oh, okay, I'm getting these accolades for doing this, doing for everybody else. So why am I going to stop to figure out who I am and if this is really making me happy? Because I'm getting positive results from doing for everybody else. So I'm just going to keep doing that because I'm so busy taking care of everybody else. I don't also have the time to then take that pause and get introspective and think about like how I feel about what's going on around me. And so I use the word permission a lot because I feel like that's where it starts. Like that friend that I was on the walk with, when she made that comment to me, it gave me permission to hit pause for myself. When I talk to her about that conversation, she has zero recollection of the walk or the conversation. And for me, it was a huge pivotal moment in my life. And it was just the idea of giving myself permission to take care of myself. And so I talk to, clients, but even my friends. Like I have a friend that was going through a divorce and we're on a walk. And I was like, so what do you want? What do you want from life? It's like, no idea. Well, of course, because you've been busy taking care of your husband and your four kids and working full time and going. Her needs were last. And I don't think that's uncommon. I think it's pretty normal in our, American capitalist society.
Being led by, I speak about this often, being led by your titles instead of by what you actually need is super common. Like the first thing we say, I can ask anybody right now, and it's like robots. Who are you? A wife, a mom, a doctor. I'm on the PTA. We can go on and on and on and on and on about what it is.
That's
And
such a good point.
there's nothing
Well,
wrong
no,
with it.
and it's I'm just a good example. Like I work in this area. Like I help other people with it. And yet when I was put on the spot, I reverted to that same thing. It's because it's so ingrained. And I can remember when I was in my corporate days and I was working hard to support my kids. So I was a single mom. And there's two things I want to say about that time. People would tell me, like, oh, I could just never work in an office all day. I'm like, you think I'm doing it for fun? Like, I got kids that want to eat. That's why I'm doing it. And then also, I worked in accounting, right? Which is perceived as super boring people, right up there with engineers, engineers and accountants. People aren't really excited to meet them at cocktail parties. So when people would ask, like, well, what do you do? I'm like, I don't want to say I work in accounting. Because I'm so much more than that. So there were periods in my life where I recognized, like, I don't necessarily want to identify with what I do for a living. Although now I like it a little bit more. Although being a coach has its own, stigma and prejudices and eye rolls, if you will, like, oh, life coach.
Then people assume that, and I just know this now, where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to school to be a therapist. And I hope people are like, oh, thinking I'm overanalyzing you, or when you have a conversation, like this is something I would say regardless if I was going to school to be a therapist or not, but I'm not giving you therapy or advice. We're just having a conversation. But if you say something like you're analyzing, or you're giving me advice, or you're trying to run my life, I'm just answering a question that I would answer this way regardless if I was in school to be a therapist or not. Like, it's just, we're having a conversation. There's
And technically, if that person was your client or patient or whatever the term is for a therapist, whatever kind of therapist you become, you probably wouldn't answer the same that you would to a friend. It's a little different.
very much so. Oh my gosh. Well, actually, I'm gonna do this before, because I'm loving this conversation. I'm like, my mind is going in so many different places. Like, oh my gosh, we could talk about this, we could talk about that. But I do want to ask you, and let me scroll down my little Spidey sheet to the pre-show, because before I ask you that question, I do want to go into our pre-show. I want to ask you about rose-colored glasses. And it was just because I had to make sure I had that. Those words absolutely correct because I love this so much. Okay, only hearing what you want. And it's like rose-colored glasses, but for your ears. Can we talk about it for a second?
Sure. I mean, rose-colored glasses, helping us see only the things we want to see. How two people can look at a situation and see completely different things. I feel like it's even easier for what we hear to interpret it in a way that we want, that fits our narrative. And I want to say, like, that is normal for us to do that. Like, because and you've probably learned this in your schooling, as far as the way our brains developed, that recognizing when something is unsafe is really important, right? That's what kept us alive. RAS, reticulating activate system in our
System.
brain, where we believe something, and then we see evidence for it. That's part of like the principles of manifestation, if we want to go a little bit woo, of like, or a gratitude practice, where I practice seeing the things I'm grateful for, so then I see more of them. The concept is really easy. Like when you get a new car, say you get a red car, and you've never seen, you get a red Toyota something or other. I'm not a car person, but, and you've never seen any in that shade of red that you've had. And then you're driving down the freeway, and next thing you know, that's all you're seeing are those red cars, because your brain is actively trying to find that, because it's trying to find information to support what you believe, because that makes us feel better.
Oh my gosh, it made me think about. So, my dream car, everybody, is a white Bronco with a removable top. With kind of lightly dusted black tinted windows and black wheels. Okay, so when I grow up, everybody, that is what I'm going to drive. And I see it everywhere now, everywhere, to the point where my kids are like, Mom, look, there's a white Bronco.
There's your
There's
car.
your car. Yeah. Oh my gosh, my oldest, if I can be driving, he'll make me run off the road. He'll, Mom, look, white Bronco. Okay, we don't gotta scream like that when I'm driving and scare me. I love how you said find evidence, because I always speak about that when it talks about the negative narrator in our mind, or the narrator is once that little alarm system goes off and is trying to stop you from doing something or convince you like this isn't safe, all of the evidence will be given to you like a little lawyer in court to make you shut something down. And it's very important to find all the evidence to support why you are capable of doing something so you don't get into the habit of self-sabotage. That's my jam right there. I love talking about that. I had to just throw that out there.
No, it's good. And an inform it is an intentional selective hearing, right? I'm going to intentionally tune in to the positive voice in my head and keep finding evidence to support that voice, as opposed to tuning into the or letting the negative one run on autopilot.
If we do have to say what's normal, and this is, I'm asking this because I want you to give someone advice today. Anyone who is listening, I want you to give them advice, one piece of advice to get them to stop accepting what I will deem traditional norms and start embracing, accepting. Yeah, that's what I'll say, acceptance. I think I'll word it like that.
Yeah, well, I don't normally give advice as a coach, but as Debbie, your guest, I can give
Yes.
advice, giving yourself permission to slow down. I feel like it's something we've already talked about, and not allow yourself to get in those ruts, those loops of, well, this is the way it has to be, or I have to do that. I often share with my clients that if you find yourself saying, I have to do something, I have to do it, and you're not enjoying it, start questioning that one, whatever that is. Like, get curious about that. Because just getting curious is the first step. Like, why do I feel like I have to do this? Do I really have to do it? Because re really, in reality, there's very few things we actually have to do, right? For our survival. Drink water, nourish our bodies. But as far as the tasks we have on a daily basis, they're not necessarily have-tos. They're choices. They might not feel like choices. And if they don't feel like choices, get curious about that. Because I feel like the biggest rub comes from not necessarily doing too much, but doing too much of the things that aren't aligned with who you are or what you want from life. That's the other disconnect. If a woman or a human, it could be anybody, has taken the time to figure out who they are and what they want out of life, they are often doing things on a daily basis, right? Their habits and routines are contrary to that. So I always encourage, like, once you've taken the time to figure out who you are and how you want to show up in the world, also pay attention to what kind of world you want to live in. Because I don't talk about personal growth for you to go sit on a mountain and meditate by yourself, but like, how are you going to show up in your community and your family and make a difference in any small way? I'm not saying you have to, have this big presence to make a difference in the world. I think it starts with the curiosity and giving yourself permission to get curious.
I like that. So you guys hear that? Ask yourself some questions. Okay? If you're at work, when you get on your lunch break, ask yourself some questions. And if you're not at work, if you're at home, ask yourself the question right now. And okay, Debbie's getting ready to go, and I'm really, really sad, everybody, because I love this conversation.
I'll have to have you on my show.
Yes, we'll do that. And then I can talk all about all this stuff that I'm learning. And you know what is so crazy about all the stuff that I'm learning too? Is I was learning so much before on my journey, but now that I'm in like this kind of, I guess, structure right now with all the stuff, it's like you have to do this right now because you have to write a paper or take a quiz. I'm like, oh my God. It's like a highlight reel. Another highlight reel of my life is going by with each assignment. Like, oh my God. Like, family systems. Oh my God. I live
Shit.
like that. Like,
Shit has happened. Stuff has happened. I don't know. Am I allowed to?
no, you're fine. Yes. And I'm like, oh, whoa, whoa. I might have to do a TikTok story time about this paper I'm writing right now because it's insane. Like, I'm reliving some trauma right now, but it's cool. So, yes.
It's true, and that's part of it too, right? We all have these lived experiences that we try to, sweep under the rugs, or we compare to these things, these headlines we're seeing on the news. We're like, well, my life's not that bad. Like, I don't have that going on. So, who am I to take up space or take the time to figure out what that, how that's affecting me? And yeah, then we just ignore it and move on about our day because we have to, go to work and do the things and check all the boxes and be the cog in the machine to keep everything running when really it's not very healthy for us.
No. And my floodgates are open if you haven't noticed, listeners. We just talk about it now. Talk about it.
Well, and I want to, since you are in this field and you're studying this kind of stuff, the book, The Myth of Normal by Gabor Mate,
Okay.
it is amazing. I actually went to see him speak a couple weeks ago. He's s brilliant. Like,
I need you to email that to me so I
I
don't
will
forget.
definitely email it to you.
Okay. And since we're talking about making connections, everyone, you need to connect with Debbie. Okay. And listen, here we go. Here I go in your ear on Monday telling you you are getting this not one ways, not two ways, but three ways. So there's absolutely no excuse for you not to reach out to Debbie and ask her any questions that you might have. So, Debbie, can you share with the listeners how they can reach out with you? I mean, connect with you. Sorry.
My website is very easy. It's newworldnormal.com. So you can always find me that way. I hang out on Instagram and TikTok much more than I should. So that's an easy way to connect with me also. I have a small community that is growing, hopefully, of we do free workshops. We do pop-up challenges. I have a free book club. I feel like it's really important for us to find ways to connect with other people outside of our normal spheres who we're used to hanging out with, to give ourselves permission to he hear outside of our echo chamber and maybe get a perspective. One thing that's really cool to me about the internet and having these online community spaces is we get to connect from all over the world. Like, in my book club, we have a woman from Ecuador, someone from South Carolina, Oregon, like all over the place. So it's great. Anyways, I want to start rambling. So that's where I am. And of course, New World Normal podcast. Check it out.
Yes. Listen, 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 listen. And one day you may even hear me on there. Now, Debbie told you. Now, I'm telling you, you get this from Debbie. You get this if you click that little drop down button in the show details. And as always, at www.selectivehearingshow.com on the resources page. So please reach out to Debbie and talk to her and get in these comments, okay? Get in the comments. Don't just email me. We need everybody to see it. Get in the comments and let us know what questions you asked yourself and how did you answer them. So Debbie, thank you for being here with me today.
Thanks so much. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was. And everyone else, until next time, this is Selective Hearing.